What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
P&E.
What's P&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Rolling on a Tuesday edition of B&E, having fun with the name, image, and likeness conversation and how long the Longhorns from the University of Texas and its supporters are looking to use it.
I know what advantage. I would be using. If I knew a kid was here to make $150,000, I'm going to get some of that out of his. He's going to be a five-star. And if he has a bad game, I'm going to get some of that money out of that body and that mind and that soul.
Well, it's,
that's just going to be some hard coaching there. Let me see your pay stub. How much did you make last week? Let me show you this film.
You think,
Isaiah, let me show you this film of you at practice.
Listen, who's the best coach in the world?
Bill Belichick.
In college football.
In college, Nick Saban.
Well, his quarterback is estimated to have made over $1 million this year. Do you think he's asking for pay stubs?
It was yummy.
No, he's going to the Final Four, though.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's just part of the deal.
No. Round-shouldered dudes here. I'm getting my money's worth.
Well, this is now part of the fairness side that I've argued. Now they're all getting money because the coaches have always been making a ton. Even when you were coaching, you were getting a paycheck.
Yes.
To coach. Now they're able to cash in on this windfall of money that's out there.
And guys like Brian Davis was taking their chunk out on Mondays or Saturday nights in the paper. So these guys that are making $150,000, I'm going to take some of my chunks back, too.
You can bring it up. I'm sure there'll be conversations about, hey, Bryce, how much are you making these days?
Yeah, let me see that.
He's going to go win a Heisman Trophy.
Really?
He'll be the richest Heisman Trophy winner ever. Arguably, maybe. Who knows? Because who knows what was. Remember all these McDonald's bags of money and SEC using gambling chips to pay players because it was untraceable? I mean, it was the old way. This is just now the new and above board legal way. Put money into players' pockets.
Hey, yeah, this is a little different from getting mom a job here.
But I think it's all good.
Or a car,
I've always thought it was good.
Used car. This is.
And shame on the college football powers and the NCAA for never coming up with a way to do it before now because it was available. Just had to concede that here's where we are, and now we're seeing it. And again, did you notice the performance drop from Bryce Young, even though he's getting paid legally to play college football? I think he's played pretty good.
Yes, he has. All the way to New York.
Pretty good. And, that's where it is. And I think it's long overdue. But UT trying to cash in on that. I like the Pancake Factory, by the way, as a moniker for this Horns.
Pretty good stuff.
Pancake Factory. We haven't seen many pancake blocks at Texas in a long time on the offensive line. So let's see if we can get back to that with the Pancake Factory. Hey, several people, and we appreciate everybody that mentioned Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen are now tied. For the last race. That's cool, because when they were here, Verstappen won and looked like he was going to stretch this thing out and win going away. Lewis Hamilton, the champion that he is.
And where did you say we're going to for the last one?
I know it was in Saudi Arabia this past weekend. I don't know where this final race is. I looked that up. Also, because we're an F1 town now, we're also a soccer town. You know what this weekend is? MLS Championship. And do you know who's playing it? Do you know that back on July 1st?
I know who's not playing in it.
But a team that the Austin FC beat twice this year. They only won 9 times. Twice they beat the Portland Timbers, including, I think it was their first ever home win. They beat the Portland Timbers. And
those are old souls in the MLS, though.
Well, Portland is playing the New York FC for the championship of the MLS Cup coming up on Saturday. Portland Timbers, champions of the West against the New York FC, noon in New York.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Well, I'm saying that they didn't win many games, but they beat the team. They may win the whole thing 2 times.
Wow.
So you're looking for positives. But yes, I mean, the Austin FC will continue to build their roster and try to field a championship team. And that's something that we learned about the MLS throughout the course of the long season, right, from March all the way to, November, that a lot of teams make the playoffs, and if you get hot at the right time,
yes,
you too, because – Portland wasn't, they were like the fifth-ranked team in the West when the playoffs began. They just made the playoffs. And now here they are playing for a championship.
Somebody said they're in Dubai.
Ooh, the Dubai. That's a trip I'd like to take one day, to the Dubai. Yeah.
Seems like it'd be hot all the time there.
Oh, it's hot, but they got a lot of indoor activities.
Sure.
In the Dubai. You know, the dub, as they call it.
Wow.
I don't know what they call it. The dub. But yeah, Saudi Arabia last week, and now headed into the Dubai for the finale. Good stuff. And we've also learned this morning that it was 25 years ago this day. 80 years for Pearl Harbor, 25 years ago, Bucky Godbolt helped lead the Texas Longhorns to the first ever Big 12 championship in, I think it was called the Trans World Dome at the time, in St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Priest Holmes running all over the mighty Nebraska.
James Brown getting it done.
Ricky Williams lead blocking and picking up blitzes of Grant Wistrom. And you guys holding on, 37-27. It's still one of the more electrifying games I can remember covering for the Longhorns. And you were a part of it.
One of the craziest weeks of football, too.
And remember, that was a Nebraska team going for three in a row, right? That was a dynastic Nebraska program at the time.
Was Scott Frost at quarterback, was it not?
I believe
he was. Yeah.
And you guys, as a 21-point underdog, walked in there and whipped them.
And people just misunderstood what James meant by saying that maybe we'll win by 21. And that group didn't have much to be pissed at Texas about. They just wanted to beat us.
Oh, somebody said it's not Dubai. It's Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi.
Come on, get your Dhabis and Dubais correct here.
Come on now.
I should have looked that up myself. But yeah, Abu Dhabi is where they're going for the F1 race.
Yeah, that was a fun game and a fun week.
What do you remember of the game day atmosphere of that, like in the locker room, getting ready for 21-point dog, knowing you're playing? I mean, this is like coaches real loose
because what do we have to lose?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, seriously.
It's like playing Alabama now, right? I mean, that's how great Nebraska was. It was no one beat Nebraska. They pound people, and you guys pulled the upset.
But I know this, when Roll Left came, that was like a no-brainer. Like that decision, you could feel that. If you went to that game and you were in the stands on that day, it was like, dude, you don't have to worry about rolling left. Just whatever you do, don't give them the ball back. Try something. Do something. Because they were starting to get their machine going.
Were you looking at a lot of the clock, trying to, come on, clock move?
Yeah, hey, is this game over with yet? Are you kidding me? There's still 8 minutes to go in this game?
8 minutes?
Are you kidding?
Can we get to the end? We got him on the ropes. But
is it time to get Ricky his extra 10 yards? No, that was not on my mind either. Someone said, you know, you still had an opportunity to get him 10 more in that game. Instead of saying one of the great games he played, why don't you get that dude 10 more yards?
Hey, can we?
Because we weren't thinking that way. We were thinking about winning. It's
so
about
what the
winning
hell
championships.
Happened between that game and the Sugar Bowl? Didn't you go to the bid? Then Ron McKelvey strikes.
The imposter, yes.
Come on, man.
And I certainly thought if we have a meeting, when we were all called together at like 1 o'clock after lunch that day, and there was a team meeting out of nowhere, not on the schedule, because it was supposed to be fun, casino fun and everything during the middle of the day. When we got that team meeting call, I just knew one of my guys. I was like, what in the hell? Who's missing? What jail do? And they didn't even call me first. Today I was thinking, you mean I didn't get the call first before to have to come down to somewhere in New Orleans and pick up somebody out of jail? No. And it was like,
it was the roster imposter.
Oh. And I was thinking, that dude was at my house. That dude had been just circling the wagons in my house. Because remember, he was like, there was a deal about him possibly making a movie and talking about everything that went on and how he did all this stuff.
So I'm trying to think, that was 1996?
And I was letting you know about the guy when everybody else was drinking juice. That guy was drinking coffee black. No sugar, no nothing, just straight up.
So on the Texas history side of things, that was 1996, you guys won that game 37-27. That was your last game.
Yes, it was my last coaching game.
That was your final game as a coach. You walked out after that, said adios to John Makovic.
On that Monday.
John Makovic was fired the following year.
Yes, I knew that ship was going to start to crash.
You didn't yet. You were wise enough to know that it already hit the iceberg.
Thought I got fired. People still to this day said, "Oh, you got fired with Makovic." That's wrong.
No, you were already gone in '96.
No, I left on that Monday. I went into his office and said, "That's it."
Really? Before the Sugar Bowl or after the Sugar Bowl?
After.
Okay. And said, "See you later." And then, of course, John Makovic. That was the off season for people.
And then it was, wasn't it, the UCLA? Route 66. Is that?
Well, because remember, after that, Texas fans were so excited they won the first Big 12 title, but the defense still stunk. And
and after that, he had the ability to get whoever he wanted.
Right, the prominent people that ran the program and Lost Odds encouraged him, hey, look, we can go out and hire any defensive coordinator we want. Blank check. And the name Bob Stoops was prominent in that conversation, by the way. This was 1996 into 97, and the name Bob Stoops was who everybody wanted. He was a young, up-and-coming defensive coordinator at Florida. And
yeah, by the way, our offensive line was led by Dan Neal.
Well, and the story goes, our buddy Dan Neal and my middle school and high school mate, the story's famous, and you were there, was when James Brown uttered that, you know, 21-point dog, what are you going to do? He said, well, why can't we win by 21?
That's right.
And that got out in the papers, and that led to the thing. And
that was so just...
And it was Dan Neal that said, why can't we? Let's go!
Yeah. That was just so taken out of context, but that's all you... And as I said, that group didn't need any... You know, they were the two-time defending national champ. They didn't need any extra bulletin board material, but they got it. But James led that team.
He did.
And he played well. And
that offensive line was
unbelievable. And that dude practiced like nobody's business.
Well, you guys went
because I've seen that dude practice where people are in the stands are getting hit by balls. water boys are getting blasted by some of James's throws.
Well, think about that for the history of the program. Win the championship, open checkbook, hire anybody you want. They wanted Bob Stoops, didn't hire him. Promoted Gary Darnell, the defensive coordinator, had left to take the head coaching job at
Western.
Central Michigan?
Yeah.
So that opened the door. That opened the gave the opportunity. And anybody you want. Instead, of course, he promoted your friend Bobby Jack Wright from within, which was a way too safe decision, even though we love Bobby Jack to death. Didn't hire Bob Stoops. And the fan base was mad. And certainly the big money donors and the AD wasn't real happy about the decision, but it was his call. And then Route 66 happens in September of the next year. Give up 66 points to UCLA. The defense is terrible all season. 4-7 campaign. And 1 year later, after winning the Big 12, John Makovic was out, and Mac Brown was on his way in. But you remember, the following year after Mac Brown was hired, Bob Stoops was then hired at Oklahoma to be head coach. And the battles between Mac Brown and Bob Stoops began for a decade plus.
Now they have a new coach. Texas has a new coach. Oklahoma has a new coach. How about that?
You know, Texas has had several. But, yeah, who knows how the program changes if simply he hires Bob Stoops in 1996 into 97 to be the defensive coordinator. Who knows? Maybe Bob Stoops never ends up at Oklahoma. Maybe he ends up taking John McAfee's job right here. I don't know. But that was 25 years ago this day. It's been a long and winding road it has been. From that day,
yeah, it was great in the locker room.
For you and for the Longhorns.
And it was great in the locker room. That was a great locker room scene with all those guys.
Indeed.
And they were, believe me, they were relieved after that game. You're talking about a group that wanted to celebrate, but you're talking about relief after that week. That was a long week of practice.
Well, you guys finished it off and then went to party in the Sugar Bowl. Do you know that Nebraska then went to win two of the next three Big 12 championships after that, after you guys won the first one? Aggies won one in there in 98 with R.C. Slocum, but Nebraska won the other two, and obviously now the conference was then dominated by Oklahoma, and gosh, six years for Oklahoma, Baylor's won a couple in there, Texas as well. That was the first of just three conference championships the Longhorns have won in the last 25 years.
By the way, there were a few guys on that offensive line who would have taken 50 Gs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, think about, you know what I was thinking about with this new $50,000 proposal that really is going to end up being 150 more than that, maybe, with the Clark Field Collective and individual name, image, and likeness deals, and you know the opportunities now. This one is guaranteed, essentially, with the Pancake Factory. But think about a guy like Denzel Okafor, just played 6 years in this program, played six seasons. It's been
great. Can I come back?
And Tope Amade played 6 years.
Tope's probably thinking, can I come back for another year?
Come on, man. You guys start this when I get out the gate. Well, this is about the future, young man. It's about the future, and that's a good example just for the reality of this whole thing. That guy like Denzel Okafor, he's never going to play in the National Football League, but he did put his body and his health and line for 5 or 6 years here at Texas, and you know those are the guys I think most benefit from this.
Well, there's a lot of people just in general would love to come out of college with $500,000 for going to school.
For what they do to their bodies and the money they generate for everyone within the industry, for sure, program by program. That's always been my argument, and now we're getting to see it come to fruition.
We'll see with the kids that learn how to deal with money and the smart kids, what they do and how they make some success stories out of this for themselves. Like you said.
Help their families.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of these kids come from impoverished backgrounds, and this is an opportunity to change their fates as well while playing college football. That's always been the big
debate.
By the
way, it doesn't hurt to get that degree either, I'll tell you that.
No, and that's this is now the total package Steve Sarkisian can sell and his staff. Top 10 university publicly, you're going to get a great education, you're going to make money, we have deep pocket donors that are setting these things up, these conduits for you to cash in, but you're going to get a great education, and you're going to be a part of the future and the change of
right.
the program and taking it back to the top. That has to be the sales, because you can't sell success, obviously. You've got to sell the vision of the future. But
and as a coach, you got to tell them how you're going to make them better.
Yeah, and the parents, you still got to sell the parents.
Because I know there's still a lot. The money sounds great, and it is great. But the players still want to get better.
They
want to win.
And the families want the kids to get that great education.
Absolutely.
And to come out the other side with some money in the bank. And that's where I think you know Texas has done a nice job. Chris Del Conte from behind the scenes in the athletic department setting up their apparatus that you know, helping kids understand money, finances, how to save money, you know, all the things that go into, you know, handling this new frontier from that side. In a smart way, you know, tapping into the McComb School of Business and those kind of things. And now here come the outside, the donors and these other folks stepping up to facilitate this. And now Steve Sarkisian has to win some of these recruiting battles, put a good product on the field, develop players, and get the program back to winning. There's a nice roadmap here. But is this the coach? Is this the staff to get it going? And that becomes the big question. I'll give Texas props and the boosters for setting up the pathway to it. Now you just have to go execute it and win football games.
And that's a good start with the offensive line.
We'll see. We've got about a week to see if that can pay some dividends on the recruiting trail, no pun intended, because December 15th and the Longhorns have only got two commitments to the offensive line right now. They'd like to have as many as six commitments on the offensive line. Can we get them? Maybe seven. Can they get there? And the transfer portal.
Because by the way, transfer portal, are you still looking in the transfer portal if there's a quarterback,
absolutely.
Even at the quarterback position?
Sure.
Or do you want a young guy?
I mean, Quinn Ewers, you want to be a part of that conversation and sell him.
But it doesn't sound like there's anybody else in there. You're not just going to take somebody from Mississippi State that has some experience or whatever.
Well, you got to start with, is he better than Casey Thompson or Hudson Card? If he is, then yes, be a part of it. If not, and again, with the Quinn Ewers thing, you have to measure, does this impact Arch Manning? Because I think Texas feels like they're in a good place with Arch Manning. I'm not saying he's coming here. I do think it's been reported by many people that his top three are Texas, Ole Miss, and Georgia.
But you can't stop recruiting guys because of Arch Manning. I mean, you can't stop recruiting top quarterbacks. Now, eventually, you're going to have to tell him, we're not recruiting anymore. You're going to have to say.
I think you might have to. But I mean, if you got Blake Murphy for this class, if you're going to add Quinn Ewers to it, does that deter you? Because it's one more year with Arch Manning, and he's going to make the decision. And some believe he'll make it before next football season. You know, because Quinn Ewers, if he comes here as a five-star kid, is going to plan on playing and playing for several years. You know, that will weigh into Arch Manning's decision. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But again, if you can go to Arch Manning and say, look, we're going here, but if you say you're coming here, we won't recruit him. But he's probably not going to tell you that right now.
No.
But you have to be in the conversations with him, don't you?
Yes. You got to recruit as many of those guys as you can.
And we mentioned that Virginia's got a couple of high-quality offensive linemen that have entered the portal. Their center, who is all-ACC kid, who is a Remington Award finalist, is into the portal because Bronco Mendenhall is moving on. And there's a left tackle that's in. I don't know, you got to kick the tires because the Longhorns need a couple of guys immediately that can come in and play. And it would be great if they've already played some high-level college football. And they have to hit five or six of these high school kids, promise them playing time, but they really need to develop those guys and for the long haul of the program. And now they can make, you know, 50 G's. Selling that on the trail.
Absolutely.
We'll get back. NFL Week 13 in the books. We'll look forward to Week 14 already because Cowboys with a showdown game. Is this the time for the Cowboys to put the NFC East in a chokehold and finish this thing off? It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
We will get back to the Texas football conversation before the top of the hour. Also, after the top of the hour, it's Light the Tower. That'll be with Jeff Howe today, along with Snoop. Snoop DeLoop will be in the house because Craig Way is not going to be on the program today or tomorrow or Thursday. He is on the team charter with the Texas basketball team up to NYC, where they're going to play Seton Hall Thursday night in Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah, and that was the Tostitos Bowl.
Yeah, after the Big 12, Thank you to everybody that corrected me on that. I had my history book wrong. The long
and don't look to the coach who was at the time slamming down Jack Daniels every night.
After you guys beat Nebraska 25 years ago, you guys went to the Fiesta Bowl and lost to Joe Paterno at Penn State.
Yeah, that was the Ricky Williams, hey, where am I? I'm like, that's all right, you'll find yourself by half.
With the concussion and you put him back in?
He never came out.
Oh, but he said, I'm seeing stars, coach.
He said, I don't remember. I'm not remembering plays. I'm like, that's all right. It'll come back to you. I wasn't really in tune to concussions at that time. Do you know what I'm saying?
Little. Yeah, that's when you just got your bell rung.
Yeah, just, hey, dude, just point which direction. Just say the word counter, lead, and all that stuff to him. He'll know what to do then. Hey, Ricky, you're carrying. That's when Sean Mitchell was in the huddle telling him which way to go. Like, hey, it's the lead player, the counter left. And he'd do the counter steps, get the ball. And then he'd say, I don't know how I got here. I'm like, okay, by halftime, we'll shake this off, right?
And he, you know, and you guys lost to Penn State that day.
Oh, we got hammered by Penn State.
Joe Pa. But that we were talking about that for 25 years ago this day.
The other one, the Sugar Bowl, was Virginia Tech, I do believe. Was that true?
Yes, that was, what was that, Jim Drunkenmiller?
Dude, that was the meanest bunch of son of a guns.
The Hokies?
The Hokies.
With Frank Beamer?
Oh, my God. You're talking about having to be buttoned up for everything there was in a football game?
Yeah. Those were two legendary coaches. I've ever seen Joe Paterno and then Frank Beamer, back-to-back years in the Sugar and Fiesta for the Longhorns. But good walk down memory lane this morning talking Texas football, looking to the future as well with this NIL and transfer portal conversations to be had. And all the recruiting talk that we're going to be all over. And that's with Jeff Howe coming up top of the hour. You get a bunch of that, the latest on the Quinn Ewers situation, the Longhorns' pursuit of some of these top offensive linemen in the country and the state of Texas, and how this new pancake factory thing helps that. Jeff will have the inside scoop on all that coming up at the top of the hour, always.
You know, and I'm happy for Coach Cristobal to get that job. We're back at his alma mater. And, the fact that his mother's real sick and he can go back home and coach from where he played in the national championship game.
No, you that know, seems like
I think a, that's the fit that they probably need.
No, I think that's
I really don't know how good a coach he is. I just noticed some things fell into place for him really nice at Oregon.
Well, he built that program, and he comes with that offensive lineman
and
mindset.
And a sense of toughness about him.
Yeah, well, they didn't play very tough against Utah the last two games.
No,
but you wonder,
physically dominated.
You kind of have to wonder, in hindsight, how much of a – because Cristobal to Miami's been percolating for months now, and how much of that was a distraction to that football team. Who knows? We'll never know. But it does feel like – success at a spot is a lot about fit. We know that, right? I mean, it's got to fit right. And it feels like Lincoln Riley to USC is a fit. That feels like home run, right?
Yes.
Hollywood, his offense, top-end talent in California.
And that just recruiting spot seems like the spot for him.
And I think that Cristobal can say the same. And Miami supporters would tell you the problem has just been we haven't had the right guy that can recruit South Florida and keep this talent here and take advantage of the resources of Miami. And build it. I mean, that's Mario Cristobal. He's an alum. I mean, there's a fit now. Mark Richt was an alum when he came in from Georgia, and that seemed like he was going to be a good fit, and it didn't work out.
No.
Manny Diaz, had ties to Miami, and that didn't work out either. But we'll see. Cristobal does feel like a good fit in that state for sure. You know, in the end of the day, of all the marquee jobs, the lowest profile hire was made by Florida, right? They hired Billy Napier from Louisiana.
Right. Now, he'd been on the radar for a couple of years.
He has been. But when you start seeing Florida's the big state school. They end up with Napier.
And Marcus Freeman getting a gig at Notre Dame is...
That's cool. Good
yeah.
For him. And I watched his introductory press conference yesterday. That guy's got energy. That is a whole new
his players, mindset. And his players love
players
to see
love him. And, it doesn't always equal to success. But the guy, and I heard Rod and Kevin talk about this yesterday. They put out a picture. Did you know Marcus Freeman at 35 has six kids?
He's been busy.
I'm like, whoa. And I my sentiments were the same as Rod and Kevin's. Like, holy cow. He's only 35 years old. He's got six kids. And his wife, lovely lady, he met her at Ohio State when he was playing linebacker for the Buckeyes. And
that dude been busy.
She been busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Five kids?
Six.
Six kids? Damn. Slow down there.
Yeah, well.
Not anymore. I just made some more money.
Well, he's getting paid now, for sure. No, I like that press conference. And look, there was a lot of excitement in Norman yesterday for Brett Venables. They are pumped. And, I think around the country, it's kind of like seen as, Is that the best they could do? Did they even talk to Matt Rhule? Did they go talk to any of these A-listers? But this comes straight from Bob Stoops, right? Bob Stoops, who handpicked Lincoln Riley to be his successor, believes this guy's got the chops, and it comes with his endorsement. Bob, Barry Switzer.
Yeah, and for college football, if you don't want to deal with Matt Rhule, just hope he stays in the NFL and doesn't jump try to get that Oregon job, because you're talking about a guy who could flip it in a hurry to something really nasty.
Well, I don't know how thin the ice is for Matt Rhule. The billionaire owner there, Dave Tepper, feels like he's going to stick with it. He called him his Chuck Knoll because he grew up a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Tepper did, and wanted to find his version of Chuck Knoll, and he wants to build the organization like the Steelers and, not be changing coaches all the time. So It feels like he's in a good spot there. They need a quarterback desperately in Carolina, and Carolina has been on the radar for all of these big-name quarterbacks.
Well, he and Joe Brady, something went south in a hurry there.
Well, and I think the Blitzer alluded to this, and, Joe Brady gets a lot of the credit for what went on at LSU, but, Steve Ensminger was there too, and he was the co-OC, and those guys worked together to build the offense. You never know. Remember, he was just an offensive assistant for Sean Payton in New Orleans. He's a very young coach. This is the National Football League. I mean, you're coaching against the best of the best and coaching the best of the best. And, there's a big learning curve there. Maybe that was some of the issue with Matt Rhule. But at the same time, it's hard to hold him accountable when there's no talent there. Like, there's no quarterback. Christian McCaffrey cannot stay healthy. Who's their best receiver out there? DJ Moore? I mean, this is not a talented team, so it's hard to blame the OC on that. But either way, yes, Matt Rhule back to college at some point. We'll see. He does seem like the guy that the Carolina wants to help build that program long term. But, there was some thought in Oklahoma, hey, do you call Matt Rhule and say, hey, you want to come take over the Sooners and get back to the college? But they wanted Brett Venables. I mean, this was something Tyler McComas, our Oklahoma insider, told us the day after Lincoln Riley left. We talked to him on that Tuesday, and he said, no, this is going to be Brett Venables. This has been the guy. And this is how they do it at Oklahoma. There's an Oklahoma way, and Brett Venables knows it. He was with that program for 10 years before going to Clemson. And, of course, he got on the outs with the program because the defense wasn't very good, and Bob Stoops wasn't going to fire his brother Mike in that spot. And it was Venables that moved on for greener pastures at Clemson and obviously became the associate head coach for Dabo Swinney, won national championships there, built great defenses at Clemson. So, but it is interesting. He's coming back, and it's going to be more of a Bob Stoops style of defense first. But Bob Stoops was the best we've seen at being a defensive coach who understood, hiring Mike Leach is the right guy, right? Hiring these great young offensive minds is what I'll build the defense. You find an offensive mind that can bring it. And that was always his recipe while he was at Oklahoma, including hiring Lincoln Riley to be the OC. Had Josh Heupel for a while, who's a head coach now. He's got a good eye for these coaches. Who does he advise Joe Castiglione to hire when it comes to offensive coordinator? That'll be big. And could it be Joe Brady? Now fired in Carolina.
Come on, man.
Well,
we don't want to see that.
We'll see where it all lands. But
I hear Joe Brady really loves working with the wide receivers, huh?
Well, he did. That was his role, right? He was the passing game coordinator with Joe Burrow, and he worked heavily with Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. And remember the year before, LSU just couldn't catch. Remember they led the nation in dropped passes?
That's right.
And all the little drills he would put them through to get them, and they became one of the most prolific offenses in college football history that year on their way to a national championship. But Ensminger was still there running the run game coordinator side of the co-OC thing. But, I still think Joe Brady's a really sharp offensive mind. Is that what Oklahoma's thinking in that spot? We'll see. We'll see. All right, Buck. So we've got a lot of college football. I wanted to get into some NFL because we saw the Patriots win last night. How about the Patriots going for two after that first touchdown? So you know what? Points are a premium. We've got a two-point play. We're bringing it. They got it to eight early and then kicked two field goals and win this game 14-10. Only touchdown they gave up was after a muffed punt. That was just impressive to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at that defense and I continue to look at the way Belichick plays defense and how he complements the offense. But those guys, when tip balls go up, those guys make the play. One of the biggest plays I always say in football is the missed interception.
They make it.
They make the interceptions. They dive. I mean, they make plays, and they're all in really great position when it comes to defensive football, and how when we talk about fits for linebackers, and who holds the anchor at the end of the line and stuff, they seem to be in the right spots. They don't, and nobody's trying to do anything that's extraordinary. They're just, as we say, just do your job, please.
And that's been the Belichick way, and they're just so well coached. That was a chaotic night, right? The wind's howling 50 miles an hour. The stuff's blowing.
Are we going to throw it? Are we going to run it?
And they were just watching them. It was almost like it was militaristic in its preciseness, their precision, their run game, their fits on defense. I mean, to just handle the chaos of what was going on weather-wise and not, you know, weather's either your friend or your foe, and for every player on the team to understand, okay, this is our game plan, guys. We're only throwing it three times tonight. We're only going to throw in a worst-case scenario. We're going to punt when we need to punt. We're going to run the ball and control this thing, play field position, and we'll get out of here with the win. And all 53 players bought in on that and understood, you know, Mac Jones could have gotten frustrated. Hey, can we call some throws here? I can throw, guys. It was no.
Hey, we got the win. You know I can throw with the win.
Yeah, 2 for 3 for 19 yards.
Wow.
For Mac Jones.
Is that possible? It's the NFL.
It is. And obviously they got the benefit of the big run. You know, Damian Harris on that little cutback counterplay breaks off a big 60-yard run, which became the difference in the football game when all was said and done.
And they'll stick with their run game where the Bills get frustrated.
Oh, stick with it. They ran the ball. That's all they did. It was a commitment to something. That was the New England Patriots last night, and it paid off.
And the Bills have lost some of their fire in their bellies when it comes to toughness.
Feels like it.
Yes.
Or it's been taken out of them because they got smoked. They got beat by Tennessee in a very, very close game in Tennessee, but the Titans were more physical in that game. Remember, Josh Allen was stopped at the goal line on a quarterback sneak in that game. He slipped a little bit. Tennessee won it. Then Indianapolis came in and just beat them up with physicality, and the Patriots followed suit. So those are right there, along with Baltimore, the three most physical teams in the AFC, and all three have taken it to Buffalo here in the last month or so. And that's why they're sitting in second place at 7-5. Patriots atop the division at 9-4.
Someone says Matt Rhule is waiting for James. Is that James Franklin?
I can see Matt Rhule at Penn State.
Well, I think James Franklin still has like another 10 years.
Yeah, he signed a new 10-year contract,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Well, that didn't mean anything.
Yeah, in the last month, colleges or universities have spent almost $100 million in buyouts.
Right.
Buying out coaches. Texas did it this last year. We know that. So
is Mel really getting $95 million?
Mel Tucker.
Come on.
Are you happy for the guy?
I am happy for him. $95 million, Zay. You know, they could have had him at 70.
Hey, he beat Michigan. I know that. And that comeback only lost for the Wolverines, who might, you know, play for a national championship.
And what are they doing? Where are they going after those two losses they've had now?
Who, Michigan State?
Yeah. Are they playing in it? Where are they playing?
Playing
Tostitos?
I'll look at that. I'll find it on the other side. I know Ohio State's going to the Rose Bowl as the Big Ten runner-up behind Michigan. Michigan's going to the Final Four.
And that used to be the place, if you were a Big Tener, you just couldn't wait to get to the Rose. I never felt that goodness.
Heck, C.J. Stroud is a Heisman finalist from California. He gets to go back and play in the Rose Bowl against Utah for the Buckeyes. We'll get the Michigan State spot.
We did play, well, at University of Illinois, we did play USC, so we did go.
You told me that. That highlight of that
was
your time there.
Yeah, highlight of the trip is the walk on the field.
All right, we'll get back to the Cowboys, too, as we talk NFL. Looking forward now for them for a big game with the Washington football team coming up Sunday. First of two matchups in 3 weeks with Dallas and Washington. We'll begin to preview that here the rest of the week. And can the Cowboys, as we say, just lock up this division, start thinking about big picture things. We'll get to all that. Also, get you ready, reset the headlines, and hand off the baton to light the tower and the rest of a Tuesday here on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
College football coaching carousel continues. Looks like one of Texas's former offensive coordinators in the last little bit is going to be the new head coach at Colorado State. Jay Norvell, remember him?
Yes, I do.
You have a drinking game with former Longhorn OCs.
Yeah, he is. I think he was at Nevada, doing a pretty good job with Nevada.
Yeah, he's a high-energy guy. Remember, he took over, gosh, I don't even remember all of these, because Mack Brown was shuffling. From 2011 on, Mack Brown was shuffling his offensive coordinators from Brian Harsin to Major Applewhite to whoever the heck. And then, of course, Charlie Strong had a different OC every year when he was here. Tom Herman had Tim Beck, but it was really Tom Herman running the offense with Tim Beck as the OC. But then he changed that out, and here came Mike Yurcich in the final year. And now here's Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian running the Texas offense. It's been a rotating door, no doubt, but Jay Norvell was covering him. He was a very nice guy, right? He was a good, fun guy to talk to,
mm-hmm.
and brought a lot of energy, and the players like him. So he's ended up at Colorado State as the new head coach there.
So it says Michigan State is playing Pitt in the Peach Bowl?
Yes, Michigan State.
Pat Narduzzi.
Pat. And Kenny Pickett, the now Heisman Trophy finalist in that game. Heisman finalist.
That can make a nice draft choice for somebody.
You like Kenny Pickett?
I do.
And the fake slide?
Yeah. You know who's going to try that this week, don't you?
Who?
Guy from the football team.
Heinicke?
Heinicke's going to go do the fake slide.
And be careful doing the fake slide because you could blow your knee out.
And Micah Parsons is going to light him up. If he goes into that get ready to slide thing and then thinks he's going to take off, we got to start hitting these quarterbacks that do that kind of thing, don't they, Zay? That guy goes to make that, I'm Superman, try to get ready, pretend like they're jumping in the air and then take off and running. Somebody's going to have to start getting hit. And the official's going to have to say, you know what? You're the one that went into slide mode. Sorry you got hit in the face. In the face, that's right.
I think it depends on the situation.
Your guy, Heinicke, will try that maneuver.
He'll try anything to win.
Hey, listen, I saw Taylor Heinicke go head-to-head with the GOAT last playoffs when he was
He did, that's right.
He kind of outplayed Tom Brady in that game.
What?
He played great in that game. Tampa won the ball game, but Heinicke was great. I'm not saying Brady was bad, but I thought he was right there with him. He didn't take it. And now he's got the Washington football team on a four-game win streak since he's taken over. Remember, they started with Ryan Fitzmagic and, you know, Heinicke was – now it's his team.
Wait till the Cowboys throw a 40-burger at them.
That defense is playing better, but they have a pretty weak secondary. The Cowboys should be able to expose that. But we'll talk more Cowboys as the week goes on. It really is. The Cowboys, looking at their schedule on paper, it's very favorable. I mean, two with Washington, one with the Giants, one with Philadelphia. Toughest game left is a showdown game January 2nd against the Arizona Cardinals, which what a game that should be. At Cowboys Stadium, Kyler Murray back in Arlington.
Does he lose there?
We'll see. I got to see. Arizona has been give Cliff Kingsbury, and he won a Big 12 championship there at Oklahoma. Beat the Longhorns. We're at the game.
Longhorns. Yes.
It was Tom Herman's year the Texas went to the Sugar Bowl. That was a good football game down there at Jerry World.
But there will be back game.
Now remember, this is in Washington, so weather could play a factor for the Cowboys on Sunday. I'll start looking at the advanced forecast.
Crappy feel.
And that field is a disaster. They got sewage problems in the stadium.
Gosh.
The place is just awful. But the Cowboys have dominated the Washington football team of late. But yeah, I mean, the Cowboys at 8-4, let's just go ahead and say, will they beat Arizona at home January 2nd? Let's just say that's their one loss.
Yes.
Let's say they don't win that. If they win their divisional games against bad teams, Giants, Eagles are still not good, but they've got Gardner Minshew mania now. Here's Heinicke. Should win those games. You go 4-1 down the stretch here, I mean, you're sitting there at 12-5 and feeling pretty good about yourself.
They can't be losing to Washington or the Giants.
But they also can beat Washington this weekend, turn around, beat the Giants, and then Washington again at home, and they're the division champs
right, it's over.
Before Christmas. And you put this thing to bed. And again, 12-5, pretty good season. If they could beat Arizona, now you're looking at 13-4. Now you're talking about big things. Because that Arizona game could be really big, because Arizona is the only 10-win team right now, 10-2. That one could be for home playoff game kind of thing, and you know, who knows where the seeding will be at that point in 3 weeks. But the Cowboys,
are we going to get to a playoff series without Russell Wilson in it? Are we almost there?
Oh God, yes. Have you watched the Seahawks? They're 3-9.
I watched this. Number 14 doesn't catch any passes anymore.
Seattle.
Something's off with – now, they beat the 49ers last week, so great win for them.
Mm-hmm.
Give them props on that. And the 49ers, that's a bad loss for their situation. But Russell Wilson, new offensive coordinator, is his finger, is he bright again? Something's off there. They're sitting in last place in that division.
Yeah, somebody's going to be gone from that group. It's either going to be Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson.
Yeah, they're 4-8. And, of course, Arizona leads that division 10-2. The LA Rams are 8-4.
Let me ask you this. If things don't go the right way with Deshaun Watson, would you take an old-ass Russell Wilson with the Texans? Or would he?
Yes.
He was not going to do it. He wouldn't do that, would he?
I don't think he or Sierra want any part of that mess.
Sierra doesn't want to come to Houston? Come on, man. Houston's starting to
look,
be...
Look, I think leading contenders for Aaron Rodgers are going to be the Denver Broncos. Carolina is going to be quarterback desperate for everybody. Then the Broncos have been collecting assets, including draft picks. That's why they traded Von Miller.
They need a quarterback badly, but they don't need an old one.
But whoever the new GM with the New York Giants is, because Dave Gettleman's going to get fired, right? They're firing that whole outfit after this season. I mean, you got to think the Giants are going after a guy like Russell Wilson. I mean, bring him to New York.
Sierra would want a part of that action.
Sure.
To New York?
Heck yes. And is Pete Carroll going to be out in Seattle? This will be it for him. Possibly, walking away.
I think he's going to walk away from this deal.
go hang out with Lincoln Riley down in USC, kind of hang out like Bob Stoops does in Norman.